thank you for allowing me to share this message with you this morning. And to be honest, this has really been part of how what God has been doing in my life, also over the last couple of years, and especially what is happening in Algeria at the moment and throughout the world in general. The topic that we want to look at today is, does God care? And I'm sure each one of us at some other time have raised that question. People are crying out daily, asking, God, do you really care? God, do you care about the fact that I lost my job and can't pay the bills? God, do you care about my marriage that is falling apart? God, do you care about my child that is rebelling and wants nothing to do with you? God, do you care about my emotional pain of seeing my husband or wife or child suffer from some dreadful disease? God, do you care about the abuse and persecution I face because I'm a believer in Christ? God, do you care about the broken relationships in my life? And God, do you care about the fact that my children no longer call me or visit me as often? God, do you care that I'm lonely in this busy, messed up world? And I just think these are just some of the things that that come up on maybe in our lives, and we ask God, does He really, really care? And there's many, many needing people in our world today. So if you and I really want to be used by God to help people in the situations that they're facing, such as these, the difficulties, the trials, we need to answer two questions. And the first question is, what is God doing in our world? Sometimes we don't really know. We don't have answers. But the second thing is, how should I respond? And that is something that we can really come to God in His Word and see how we respond to what He is doing in this world today, even though some of it just really doesn't make sense. You will not help anybody by just saying to them, don't worry, things get better over time. It normally happens to most people. And so we really need to, if we want to be of some help to people around us, if we want to be instruments in God's hands, we need to help respond in the right biblical way. So in the book of Mark, we see how Jesus has gathered His disciples, and He's busy teaching them about not only receiving the Word of God, but about being givers, giving the Word of God, and being instruments in His hand. And so Jesus is busy teaching His disciples not only to take, but how to give. And but you know, the disciples, they were not men of faith in the beginning. We know that. And but Jesus had to craft faith within these guys, rough diamonds as they were, I guess, just probably like you and I are today. But God had to craft faith within them. And He needed to do some heart work in these people. Not physical heart work, but spiritual heart work. And so we are looking at Mark, the book of Mark this morning, chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. And I'm sure you all know this this passage very well. But I'm going to read through it again. And from verse 45... Mark chapter 6, verse 45. It says here, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, where He dismissed the crowd, while He dismissed the crowd. And after He had taken leave of them, He went up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and He was alone on the land. And He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the water. He meant to pass by, but when they saw Him walking on the water, they thought He was a ghost and cried out. They all saw Him and were terrified. But immediately He spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Some other versions of the Bible say they were utterly amazed, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. So if we look here in verse 45, we read that Jesus, what does he say there? It says that he immediately made his disciples get into the boat. Some other versions of the Bible say Jesus commanded them and he makes his disciples get into the boat. Jesus has them where he really wants them to be, and that is in the storm. Jesus has a perfect plan, as usual. God's plans are always perfect. God's plans are never without doubt, even though we may never understand what God is up to, but we may know that his plans are perfect. So here we see Jesus commanding the disciples, sending them where? Into the storm. We may ask, well, why would God want his disciples that he loves so perfectly? Why would he want them to get into this kind of difficulty? I mean, after all, God knew about the storm. It's not that he was just sending them on a lovely Sunday afternoon boat ride. He knew what he was doing. You see, Jesus knows. He knew something about these men. And that is what he knew, that these guys are not yet what he wanted them to be. He knew that they were self-righteous in many ways. He knew that these guys are self-centered. And so Jesus knows these guys well. He knows that they need a lot of heart transformation still. And just like you and I, when we come to know Christ, until the time we'll see him face to face, God is busy with heart transformation in our lives. And this is what he was busy with, transforming the hearts of these disciples. God is in the business of transforming hearts. Sometimes we think, just, Lord, how much more can you take? Leave us alone for a while. I don't know how much more I can go through this heart transformation. But when we realize that God loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us where we are, and he causes this transformation in our lives, and he will take us. He will take us to places where we could not go in order to create something in us that we couldn't do on our own. And I just want to think about that again. God will take us where we never intended to go in order to produce something in us that we could not achieve on our own. Would you want to go into a storm on your own? No, I wouldn't want to do that. But God takes us there because he knows he wants to do something in our lives that we could never do on our own. And so we know God's plans are good. We know we can trust the Lord, and God will take us there. The Bible calls that our transformation, he calls it grace. And everything that God does in our life is grace. But sometimes we don't see God putting us in the storm as being his grace. But that is really God's transforming grace. Many times in my life, I'm calling out to God, please give me grace, oh God, especially during this tough time in Algeria. Lord, show me, how do we do this? What do we do? I need the grace just to get through today. And why do I do this? Because I want relief of something or some person. That is, I don't know about you, but that's my immediate thought. It's like, I need relief. I need to get out of here. I want smooth sailing in my life. I don't want all these things to work through, sometimes on a daily, weekly basis. They just don't relent. I want smooth sailing. I want my comforts. Some might say, no, I don't really need comforts. I just need to pay my bills at the end of the month. And so we're crying out to God for grace. I want to be with people who understand me, Lord. I'm tired of these difficult relationships. It's just weighing down heavy on me. I'm tired of being hurt, feeling pain. I'm tired of my heart being torn apart. Father, give me your grace. And we don't see going into the storm as being God's grace. I just want to be happy. There are days when I'm so self-focused and angry that I'm not even sure that God loves me. I'm so overconsumed by my situation. I don't see God's grace in it at all times. But I know that the circumstances and the storm that are in, that's God's grace for me. Sometimes we have good reasons to think this way. We start reasoning with God. After all, if I'm a child and if he really cares about me, will he allow me to be treated in this manner? This is the kind of thing I start talking to myself about. I start questioning God's goodness. We start questioning God's wisdom even, and wonder if he really does care. I'm not too sure if you've gone through those times where you've said, God, do you really care? Do you really understand where I am at the moment? Do you really understand what's best for me? Because I can see clearly this is not what's best for me at this moment. And then I'm going to go back into the Word and say, God's plans are perfect, God's plans are good, and I may rest in that, knowing even if I can't see that it's good, but it's God's grace for me in that time. God knows what is best for me, and He is busy transforming my life. Let's look at verse 48 again, what it says. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the water. He meant to pass by. The minute you read about Jesus stepping out to walk on the water, it is evident that what Jesus intended to do from the moment he stepped onto the water. You see, Jesus wasn't so concerned about the storm. He wasn't focused on the storm. That wasn't a problem. Jesus could have stood at the shore. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. From there, he could have stilled the storm, and the storm would have quietened down. Why did Jesus need to walk to them in the storm? And so it's not the storm that was the issue. He was more concerned about the difficult circumstances. No, Jesus was concerned about the men in the boat. That's where he wanted them. That's where he had them. And that was his whole purpose of sending them there, commanding them, go out. And now when you and I are in difficulties or uncomfortable circumstances, what do we normally want? I'm not sure about you, but I know what I want. I want immediate release from a storm. I don't want to be in that storm. I want to get out of it. I want the Lord to get me out of the situation. We plead with God, get us out of the storm. So when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. It says, yeah, they thought he was a ghost. They were terrified and cried out for Jesus. They didn't even recognize him. They were so afraid. So here we see Jesus in all his divinity walking on the water, and the disciples see this, but they're still freaking out. You know, they were afraid. Why? Because they were so consumed by the fear of the storm. They were so consumed by the fear of the storm that they didn't realize the God of creation was right there with them. And so that's why the Lord was busy working, bringing grace to these people. They don't recognize the all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign God right next to them. They didn't recognize him. Now, before we become harsh and criticize these disciples, how do you and I respond when times when we're in difficulties? Do you wonder if prayer works? Do you wonder if God is near? Do you wonder if God is faithful? Do you wonder if God actually cares? And do you wonder if God really loves you? The shocking thing is that these disciples had just seen Jesus raise a little girl from the dead. In the book of Mark, they watched him do miracles. They saw him feed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus had just calmed another storm in Matthew 8, 26 to 27. They'd seen God work miracles there. Yet they were panicking again, and as if they had not witnessed anything that God was doing. So Jesus is with them in the storm, but Jesus does not condemn them. He doesn't say to them, oh my goodness, I made a bad choice here. I see these guys are not learning. You know, he doesn't leave them there. No, God is full of grace, and he has a plan for them. And so he doesn't chase his disciples, doesn't get them out of the boat. He continues to work in them, continues to give them grace, continues to transform them. In verse 50, let's look at verse 50. It says that, for they all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart. His eye, do not be afraid. Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't you understand? Don't you see that it is the great I am that is with you? Take heart, don't be afraid. It is I, the great I am, the one who put the foundations of the earth into place. They don't see that, they're afraid. Jesus is saying, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Take courage, I am here with you in the storm. The most amazing thing is that it's not possible to be alone in life's storms. That's the amazing thing. When we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, he lives within us. He's all around us. We cannot be alone in a storm, but sometimes our eyes are just, we are in fear, we are not looking towards the cross, we are looking out for ourselves. And God understands that as well, but the reality is the great I Am is with us in every storm. Jesus has given us a new identity when we come to know Him. We don't need to look to people, we don't need to look to circumstances and make sense out of life. We will never make sense out of life by looking at the circumstances of life. I always tell my team and I tell my family as well, I said, don't look at me, I will disappoint you. I ask my wife, I disappoint you most days. And God knows that as well. God is the one that is busy working in our lives, and I'm just a sinner like everyone else. We are sinners leading sinners. I tell my team that I'm a sinner leading sinners. But that's the reality of who we are. God has invaded our lives. He's given us grace. We have a new identity. We can look to Him. But I'm still a sinner that sins on a daily basis. And I need God's grace for that. So we keep looking to the great I Am. And He is the one that will make sense when life storms come. Now when we look at this passage in Scripture in Mark, when did you think Jesus started caring for His disciples? Okay, this could be a tricky question. If we look at this, when do you think Jesus started caring for His disciples? Was it perhaps when Jesus started walking on the water towards the boat? Was it when Jesus stood next to them in the storm? Was it maybe when Jesus got into the boat? When do we think that Jesus started caring for them? Okay, it's none of the above. It's none of the above, I believe. And I would argue that Jesus started caring for His disciples when He told them to get into the boat and sent them into the storm. That's when He cared for them. You say, but that sounds strange. Why would He care about them by sending them? Because He knew. That's where I wanted to work with these guys. I care for them so much. I love them so much. I know I can't do anything when their life is comfortable. I need to send them into the storm, and that's where I want them. That's where I want to teach them. That's where I want to work with them. And God's plans are always perfect. The reason is sometimes we need storms. We need storms in our life. I know we don't always like them, but those storms do arrive. They're God's best for us, and we can look to the Lord in those storms, not always understanding, but we know that God is busy transforming us by His grace. When Jesus gets into the boat, the disciples are amazed, utterly amazed. Yeah, it says, they use another word, but in one of the translations it says that Jesus was amazed. I mean, the disciples were amazed. There's a huge difference between being amazed and having faith. I can be amazed by somebody's reading the message of the Bible to me. I can be amazed by that, but do I really have faith in that? I can be amazed, as Muslims have, they're amazed by the life of Jesus. But do they really have faith in Jesus? So there's a big difference. So it says, yeah, the disciples were amazed. But the question is, did they have that faith? Was that faith built in their lives at that time? And obviously not. God is still working with them, as He works with us. Okay, we're amazed sometimes at what God is doing. But we don't always have that faith to carry it through. But God continues to work in our lives. God wants. God does not want us to be amazed. He wants us to be people of faith. And that is why He continues to work with us. We are like these disciples sometimes. I see myself clearly as these disciples sometimes. I'm scared or terrified of the storms. But God, I know when I know that's God's best plan for me. I can rest in that, knowing that God has got this. He is the one that's working. We need to experience God's transforming grace. Therefore, God takes us to places that we never wanted to go, we never intended to go, in order to create this faith within us that we just could never do on our own. God is really amazing. And Jesus is the almighty living gift given to overcome the storms of life. When such times arrive, tell yourself, yes, talk to yourself, even audibly if you have to, that I'm experiencing uncomfortable grace, but I'm exactly where God wants me to be because He's busy transforming me. I have on my computer, on my laptop, I have a little piece of paper that I've sticky down there. I've had it there for the last 10 years. And it says, don't listen to yourself. Talk to yourself. Because if you're going to listen to yourself, more than likely Satan's got an agenda and he's going to tell you all the worries, all the reasons why you should worry. But talk to yourself. Tell yourself the gospel. Who is God? What is he doing? Is he good? Yes, he is good. So we need to continue to be reminded to talk the gospel to ourselves and don't listen to ourselves. God will complete the good work that he has started in each one of our lives. And he allows storms in our lives in order to transform our hearts because he loves us. God's love for us and our understanding of his love can be very different. But we need not fear because he loves us perfectly. And I think that's what I've come to battle and to work through. My understanding of good is not God's understanding. It's not God's good. I don't understand really what God's good is. And that's the friction we come into. I don't see good in the storm, but God knows that that's good for me. So I have to rest in that, knowing that God's goodness is perfect and my understanding of good is not always correct. If you're in the storm today, take heart. The great I Am is with you. And that's what we can do on a daily basis, knowing that when we go through the storms, that God will give us the grace, the transforming grace that he wants to work in our lives, and knowing that he is there with us. He's the one that sends us into the storms, and he's the one that's busy working in our lives. So take heart. The great I Am is with us every moment of the way. Thank you. Amen.
Father, we thank you today that as followers of Jesus, you command every storm and you are graciously at work in every storm that you permit into our experience. Whatever storm is raging, perhaps in the hearts of some of your people this morning, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be in the boat with them, and that you would speak that peace be still. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that our lives are hidden with Christ in God, and that when Christ, who is our true life, appears, we will appear with him in glory. And we thank you that until that day, you are at work in everything for the good of those who love you, conforming us more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus. And so now to him who has called us and the one who will ultimately glorify us, be all praise, honor, thanksgiving, blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.
When